I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Phil Edmonston joins me now. He's the author of the hugely popular Lemonade series. If you've bought a car, whether new or used, you might have consulted these books, which have been bestsellers for over 30 years. Those that sell cars even swear by the Lemonade series, which are available throughout. LemonadeCars.com is his website. Phil Edmonston is the author of at least 125 previous best-selling books on consumer rights and the automobile industry. He is a former Member of Parliament until a few weeks ago was the only NDP MP ever elected from the province of Quebec. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Phil Edmonston. Good morning, Mr. Edmonston.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Are you active politically now?
Good question. I don't know. You know, I talk with people in the NDP as well as Liberals and so forth, but I'm not really active in the sense of campaigning for myself, but I am supportive of the NDP getting membership or representation, members of parliament in Quebec, because I don't like that anyone left of center as I am. Who would like to see more rights for citizens and services has to go to a independent oriented party in the sense of independence, a separatist party in Quebec in order to have their voices reflected. So, yeah, in Quebec, probably I am. Well, elsewhere in Canada, nah, I think there are enough politicians.
Did you think that's a concern of people in government, that it's something that they think about in terms of consumer rights?
You know, when I was a member of parliament, I didn't really feel that my fellow members, really were concerned much about consumer rights, because as a member of parliament, they have it pretty easy. And they're in a bit of a cocoon. They don't have to worry about the quality of repairs or generally what they're buying, because they're treated with a certain amount of deference. Because I'd always been taking up the battles for consumers in the automobile industry, I was pretty much more sensitive to that than I think most of my fellow members. I thank goodness that we have lobbying groups like the Consumers Association of Canada and other groups, because I believe the average person with consumer problems is given a short shrift. Whether it's Transport Canada or any of these other government bodies, I find that they are not that sensitive to people's complaints.
And besides the books, the Lemonade books, is that what you spend most of your time doing in terms of lobbying government and so on?
Not really. Right now, I'm primarily the three books, the Lemonade guides, keep me busy pretty much all year round. But apart from that, and not getting into politics, I do a lot of church volunteer work. I like that, because it's without becoming too holier than thou. That's a lot of fun, where you're dealing with nutrition programs and helping people. Overall, the work that I do as a writer and the work that I do just as a human being, well, they kind of dovetail together in the sense that you're critical and of the way the system is at the moment, but they're pretty different.
These books have been around forever. They've been 30 years, have they?
38 years, actually. When I first started, you could get a really good Mustang from Ford in the late 60s, early 70s for about $3,000, and that was including the transportation charge and warranty.
And you've been associated with the books for all 38 years, have you? Or?
Yeah. I started it in Quebec, and there's been three books each year. Even in French, we were producing it for a while, but it's the Lemonade Used Car Guide, which is probably the most popular, and then the Lemonade New car and minivan guide, and recently, just in the past 10 years or so, has been the Lemonade truck, van, and SUV guide, just to show you how much the market has kind of fragmented. And each one of these books, I mean, these are not small books. It's about 600 pages for each one, and sometimes there are many, many pages just on one particular model, because some models merit that kind of treatment. Some models have a lot of problems, or they've had a lot of recalls and what we call secret warranties, or warranties that once a regular warranty is over, you can complain and get your money back on certain repairs if you know that they have these goodwill programs that will allow for it.
Has the automobile consumer over the years become more savvy?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Probably because of the internet and guides like Lemonade and other guides like that. There are consumers who say, look, I'm going to take 2 weeks or so to really look at the particular vehicles that I want to buy, and I'm going to look out the price. The number one thing is price, and then number two is reliability. Three or four down the line would be safety. Fuel economy is actually, I would say, number three now because of the higher fuel costs. But people are definitely much more suspicious of going into dealerships. That's why internet sales are increasing in number. People don't want to get into what they call a showroom shakedown. They want to oftentimes use brokers in order to buy a vehicle, and that's happening more and more frequently. But definitely, you've got more savvy consumers now than you used to have.
Back to the books for just a sec. Are you surprised at how successful the books have been?
Oh, I'm shocked. I tell you, I'm shocked. I only intended to put out one Lemonade guide back in the late 60s or early 70s. That was it. I just got fed up with people cornering me and at parties and elsewhere. At parties, it was usually lawyers and doctors asking me for advice. And who am I? You know, I'm just trying my best. And the years have rolled by, of course, the Lemonade guides each year became more and more popular. And now they're we sell about 30,000 copies a year, and that's a real bestseller. And I'm doing it more now for just a pleasure. I really enjoy putting it out and going on tour and getting back information from people from the open line shows as to, you know, hold on, Phil, you said this and this and this, but in our region, and Canada is a nation of, you know, we're a country of regions, each one is different, and I learn a lot more information as I go out into these regions that I can put into the next edition of Lemonade.
When you see the book on shows like Corner Gas, is it fun for you?
I had a ball. I saw that. I liked the way they did it because it was so typical of a woman wanting to take a guy to buy a vehicle because she felt she'd be treated more seriously. I mean, that actually happens. It's not just the fact that my Lemonade guide was featured there as their reference book, but the fact that they were showing a kind of comical situation that's very real in Canadian life. I was really very happy to see them do that kind of treatment.
And the books come out what part of the year? They're out now, right?
Yeah. The books come out generally in the fall or early in the new year. The used car guide usually comes out around the beginning of or late spring, early summer, because that's when the season for used cars starts picking up.
Let's talk about some current things at the moment. The dollar, the Canadian dollar, is quite high. It's at par or near par when we're talking. Do you see a lot of Canadians going across the border to buy a car, and is it worth it?
Absolutely. A lot of Canadians going across the border from east to west Canada, 112,000 so far this year, a big increase, and they're even saying that it looks like it's going to go way beyond that. And can they save money? Yes. A minimal amount would be like on a Honda Accord, approximately $3,000. But the vehicles that go up to about $30,000 or $40,000, you can easily save $7,000, $8,000, $10,000. The more that the vehicle goes in price higher, the more the money you can save just by going south of the border, because our dollar has increased so much from about 65, 70 cents to 95 to 99, almost on par, and we haven't been given the reduction that we deserve. So people are saying, to hell with this. I'm going to go where my money is worth more, and I can get a good price. So, by the way, if you don't want to go to the States, find out, though, that there is a website, and you don't have to buy my book to get it. I'll give it to you right now. It's called the N is in Nancy, AA is in Adolf, NAA, T Tony A, Nata, .org, and that's the independent brokerage group that actually finds vehicles in the States and facilitates the ability of people to get these vehicles even delivered to their home with a minimum amount of problems with transport to Canada or the customs taxes. And they do it for vehicles from the States, and they do it for vehicles from Europe, and they've been doing it for many, many years. So NAATA.org, take a look at it and look at those prices and maybe use those prices as leverage if you're dealing with a local dealer in Canada and say, hey, can you come anywhere near this price?
No, I don't know how this works. If you buy a car in the United States, in terms of the warranty and things like that, getting it repaired, do you find that it's difficult for Canadians to get those things done later on?
No, not really, but it is a mixed bag. Some of the car companies are trying to put their fingers in the dike so that this flow of customers out of Canada into the States will cease, but they're not very successful at it. In fact, Porsche just announced that they were reducing their prices 10%, I believe, as a result of pressure from Lemonade and pressure from other consumer advocates who said, you know, that this is ridiculous that we have to pay $20,000, $30,000 more for the same vehicle than what we would pay in the United States. So Porsche is doing that. I think other companies are also going to break with tradition, and they're going to start lowering their prices. However, the important thing to remember is that nobody any longer pays the manufacturer's suggested retail price. Most of the time, you can beat it by 10, I think 15%, and the prices are going to continue to go down because of high fuel prices, the fact that Chrysler is going to be very aggressive with their rebates and the dealer incentive programs because of the new ownership. They have to make profit very quickly. And also, just a simple fact that having vehicles on the other side of the border means that people know that they can they have an alternative.
Well, what are some of the trends that you're seeing in auto buying? Is there much difference in, are people buying smaller cars rather than bigger cars? Do you find that, or?
It's interesting, the trends now are that people who've discovered SUVs and some of the better performing pickups are and minivans are sticking with that particular model niche, that segment, but they're downsizing within that segment. So you've got the smaller trucks are really popular, although the large trucks are holding their own a bit because that increase in price and fuel price particularly means that they generally, because they're used for commercial purposes, is being passed through to the clients of these particular small businesses that are using these full-size trucks. As far as the SUVs are concerned, you've got some great increases in the numbers sold of the SUVs in the small downsized versions, for example, of the CR-V from Honda and the Toyota RAV4, and even Hyundai with their new Tucson, the Santa Fe, which is a little bit larger, and the full-size Veracruz, which is coming on the market soon as well. I think these are vehicles which are going to maintain their popularity, and at the same time are going to satisfy people's desire for having vehicles which are more fuel frugal and vehicles which have been downsized.
Besides fuel economy, do you see a trend towards more environmental friendly cars like hybrids and the sort?
People people want to do right. I mean, they want to be green, they want to do what they can for the environment, but they want reliability, and they generally want to have vehicles which are not that difficult or are high-tech to fix. And that's a problem with the hybrids. If you have a problem, a small electrical problem, and you're outside of the, say, Toyota or Nissan Special, because they've taken off the market, their insight. I don't know what people who have insights are going to do long-term, but if you have a Toyota and you have a problem, a small electrical problem, and you're outside the territory, who are you going to call? You're going to be in a phone booth someplace looking for someone to tow you to a dealership that may be a 50 or so kilometers away. These are things that with high-tech vehicles that you have to consider. I believe that you can do just as well keeping things simple and getting a fairly economical car, but buying it used, which means that you can go green in the sense that you're replacing a vehicle with one on the market. You're not putting a new vehicle. You're not adding to the vehicle population. And that's important. And that also means that you're being environmentally friendly, because the same vehicle giving you this fuel economy, it's like you've already cut the fuel economy in half, and you've paid half for the vehicle because you bought it used.
How do you be careful when buying used?
Well, the biggest fraud or deception in buying used vehicles is usually associated with the seller. In British Columbia, as in Alberta and other parts of the West, there are a lot of used car dealers who pretend to be private sellers, and they're getting their vehicles from auctions. These vehicles have had rust damage, or coming in from the east, they've had lots of really heavy wear and tear, or they've been in accidents. And you have to protect yourself by checking out the seller in the car at the same time to find out where it's been and how it's been maintained. There's one organization called CarProof. Now, CarProof is a Canadian organization or a Canadian company that overnight, you can do this on the internet, you can find out, you can get a full report in your computer on that particular car that you're thinking seriously of buying. I'm saying you should be serious about your consideration of that vehicle, because these CarProof checkups cost, I think, between $40 and $50, but they tell you everything about the vehicle. So if you've got one in mind, check out the seller to make sure that you're not getting scammed. That's the primary thing that you have to watch out for.
I've noticed something when preparing for this. You talk about this, I think, in the book, airbag theft.
Yes.
How does that happen and why?
Well, it's very simple, but primarily the airbag on the driver's side, it just takes a few minutes, and you can just take it out of its housing, or take the housing out entirely, and then you can sell it for easily $300 or $400 a pop. And most of the people who do this are professionals, and it's really increased in frequency, particularly in areas where you've got a high population, like in Vancouver, or principally in the United States, but in Toronto, along certain areas where dealers park the vehicles as well, and thieves will go through and steal up to 200 airbags in one night. And of course, these airbags get replaced or put into other cars, and they're not always functioning, and you don't know it, and they create a real hazard. So there looks like there's going to be a program where the airbags will have serial numbers, or will be identified in a way so that you can trace that to make sure that you've got one which is functioning or one which is a legitimate original equipment.
How does one protect themselves from theft?
Well, the easiest way is to have one of those steering lock bars, and for a few, I think $20 or so, you can take that bar and you can put a kind of cup over it as well that pretty well protects you from having anyone going into the steering assembly. That's the best way. If you have an alarm for the car, that may work, but many times people, they look at a guy and he looks back at them and say, hey, you know, what am I going to do? My car alarm keeps going off. And very few people are going to challenge somebody going into a car with an alarm.
This is we could talk forever, but there's just so many fascinating things about cars and buying cars and fixing cars and so on. But we do suggest that people pick up the books. They're available now. Both the used car and minivan book, the
right.
SUV van and truck book, as well as the new car and minivan book. There's also Car Smarts. What's that?
Car Smarts is for kids, actually, smart kids who want to know about the basic automobiles, automobile technology, where it's going, and what are the best buys, so that they can bug their parents when their parents go out and decide to buy a vehicle. They can be part of the process.
Phil, thanks so much for joining us today. I've enjoyed it, and continued good luck with this book.